Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we welcome in Darren McFarland to the program, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the Nashville Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators radio network. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
Guys, I feel like Eeyore today. It's just not a good start. Just getting old sucks.
Not going well?
No. I'm sitting here. I look so pathetic. If you guys, I'm so glad this is radio. And no, I'm not turning on Zoom because I look just so pathetic. I'm sitting here, my leg propped up. I've got a big bag of ice on my right knee. It's just sad that I can't do anything without getting hurt. It's unbelievable. Now you know why I don't show up to your pickup games, Joe, because I would be dead. I would just – now forget just being in the hospital. I would be dead. I can't – my body just won't let me be active. I mean, we get outdoors for the first time yesterday. First outdoor practice with our team, and I'm showing the boys how to do jump squats. And literally the first jump squat I do, my knee pops. And I'm like, oh boy.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, here we go. So I spent the next hour and 45 minutes limping around the ball field, and I knew I was in big trouble because I've been down this road before, and I'm like, so I go get my fate today after the show, but it's like, here we go again. It's unbelievable.
So that is not anyway, fun, my friend.
That's
we are sorry to hear that.
That's my boo-hoo story. So there you go.
What have you had? You've had serious knee stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately. Yes. Joe,
it sucks, man.
I'm not biased to one particular knee. Like they both suck. So I never know. Left, right. This one happens to be the right, but yeah, it's like, here we go again. So crutches and all kinds of stuff. Get ready. I've been down this road before.
If I know Darren McFarland, those boys now know how to do jump squats. The form, I bet, was perfect on that one that he tried for.
Yeah, I didn't stick the landing, though, because when my knee popped, I was like, oh, boy, trouble.
Well, Darren, we hope you get to feeling better and that the news is good on the knee front.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts on this? Yeah, fingers crossed for sure. What are your thoughts on this hockey team right now? Obviously, they've lost 4 games in a row. I don't think by any means it's time to panic or anything like that. You're still in a playoff spot. I read off the money puck stat earlier. You still got over a 61% chance to make the playoffs at this point. But as you watch this team play coming off the break, losing 4 in a row, what do you see with this group right now? And I guess how concerned are you about what you've watched from this Predators team the last 4 games?
Well, I'm not terribly concerned, but there are things to look at and now, you know, heavily discuss, which are more than fair. One, throughout the course of an 82-game season, we've all been trained in this market. We understand how this works, that unless you've got that special team that's going to have that special season and be the President's Trophy winner, you're going to just be talking about bad patches throughout a course of a season. It's just going to happen. It's not if, it's when. And they're going through their bad patch, and they're just 50 games into an 82-game season. So there's still a long ways to go. Just think about it. They've still got over 30 games left in the regular season. A lot can happen with that. So with that being said, not too concerned, but the schedule is not going to help them out, right? Like, oh, well, the good news is they've got Florida tomorrow night. Oh, wait a minute. That's right. Florida's basically the best team in the league. I think they're 1 point behind Colorado for being the best team in the league. And we're not surprised by Florida's success. We're not surprised by Carolina's success. We're not surprised by Tampa's success because we saw them a million times last year in the Predators division, right? We knew they were good teams. And, you know, that's what's on the horizon. They just got through playing Carolina on Friday night. And next up is Florida, then a desperate Dallas team who I watched gag a game last night against the Coyotes. Like, dude, yikes. Like if you want to get in the playoffs, like, you know, if you're trying to make a push, like you can't lose to Arizona. Like you're going to lose games, I get it, but you can't lose to Arizona if you're a desperate hockey team. They lost to Arizona last night But you're going to get, you know, still, we know the Dallas and Nashville rivalry is going to be heated, and Dallas is going to be desperate like a lot of these teams they've been playing. Washington was a desperate team. Winnipeg was a desperate team. And Dallas is what started this losing streak, and they were a desperate team. And then you get Tampa in the stadium series. So it's not going to get any easier for the rest of the month. But, you know, I do think, Robbie, there are things, Joe, to talk about. Like, they're not scoring as much anymore. Their scoring has gone down in this losing streak. The scoring was up when they were playing really well. It's gone down. What did they have? They had one goal against Washington, two goals against Winnipeg, and if it wasn't for the, you know, basically the flurry with the extra attacker in the third period on Friday, it would have been basically another one or two goal game again. And we know one or two goals, this team is not going to do more winning than losing if that's what they're going to have, one or two goals in a game. It's probably going to result in a loss more times than not. And just, you know, the other thing is just the, you know, the constant penalties. Mark Borowiecki going down didn't help in the first period. And look, these are all things that happen to teams. And so they have to get past all that. But, yeah, they're going to have to be better moving forward. But I think John Hines put it well. When you're in a losing streak and you've lost your identity, that's the time to probably hit the panic button or be concerned. But if you haven't lost your identity and you're still losing, you know, games, I think there's reason to be optimistic that you can pull out of it. I think that was a fair quote.
Is there anything, Darren, lineup-wise that you think could help this team find some more offense?
I mean, it's a good question, Joe. I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I think there's a couple of young guys. I mean, we know Cousins is not in the lineup, and Cousins doesn't bring the offensive punch. He brings more of the nastiness, and Borowiecki doesn't bring the offensive punch either. But I think really what you're asking is, you know, is Tolvanen doing enough? Is Tomasino doing enough? Well, I really like those guys a lot, and I think they're playing the right way. I think there's a reason why they're in the lineup, right? If they weren't playing the right way, I mean, Tolvanen, I truly at times, I think he is snake bitten at times. Like, I like his game, you know, and then I'm like, but they did bring him in to score. I mean, he is there to score goals. And you could certainly make a case that some of the younger guys, you know, are not giving them enough offensive punch. And so maybe there's somebody in Milwaukee that you could bring up to maybe spark something, maybe give somebody, you know, a couple games off. I mean, I think it's a fair question, and I'm sure they're examining all that, right? I'm sure that they're talking about it. Typically, when we ask this question and we answer it, who are we talking about? Well, they need more from Matt Duchene. They need more from Ryan Johansson. You know, Philip Forsberg needs to get back in the lineup. It's like the typical go-to answer. Well, that's not the case this year. We're not talking about that. And then you've got, you know, the season that Tanner Janot has put in. So, you know, Granlund's just steady. Granlund does what he does, and Yossi does what he does. And so you don't have your typical answer. I think the only way you could answer that with a yes, and maybe with somebody from Milwaukee, is if we're talking about some of the younger guys that are here to score goals. I like the way they're playing, but maybe they could say in this losing streak, we need you to score goals. You're not scoring goals. We're going to let you sit out for a couple of games, bring somebody up, and then, you know, maybe reinsert you back in the lineup shortly after that. That would be my best answer on that. I think it's a fair question. I don't have an exact – Milwaukee's having a good season. Connor Ingram, by the way, is doing fantastic in goal. But, I mean, Cody Glass is doing well, but it questions – I don't know how you guys feel about it. I do wonder, and I realize he's still very young, but it's like we've heard this before out of Cody Glass, right? It's like, okay, yep. He goes down there and he does really well, and then he comes back to the NHL level, and it's like, ugh. It's like, is he just a 4A player? I don't know. I'm not ready to tag him as a, you know, as we would say in baseball, the 4A player kills it in AAA, but he gets to the majors and it's just not good enough, and he's like in that in-between place. I don't know. I mean, Rocco Grimaldi continues to score goals. You bring him back up maybe to give him a chance? I don't know. I don't know what that dynamic is like. I mean, we know how it, you know, there's been kind of a clash with what he wants and what they want. So I don't know. But I do think whenever things like this are going on, this is when you start seeing coaches changing up lineups, right, changing lines, and maybe think about bringing people up.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rexro. So, Darren, obviously, I mean, you said it. It starts tomorrow against Florida. This is a heck of a week for the Predators coming up. You've got the Panthers, obviously a gigantic game against the Stars, both for, you know, Pecorine's jersey retirement ceremony and for the game itself, the 2 points on the line on Thursday. And then, you know, some event called the Stadium Series coming up on Saturday as well. What do you think of this week? How much do you think we learn about this group, this hockey team this week, with the quality of competition they're about to face?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot. But, I mean, I think we've learned because they've been facing, I think, quality and desperate competition. So, I think what we need to learn, Robbie, is can they pull out when they get, you know, they get in the bad patch? Can this team pull themselves out, and they're not going to get an opportunity against, you know, it's not going to be Arizona or the Islanders, you know, teams that are having a really, really bad season. You know, it's not Arizona and Chicago and Seattle and I'm trying to think who else. Montreal has been awful and Buffalo. And you could say, okay, well, pull yourself out against these crappy teams. You know, they're going to have to bring their best or they're going to get the same fate. I mean, these teams are not going to let up. These teams, I mean, Florida may end up being the best team in the regular season this year. So it's a big week. It's a big week for a lot of reasons. One, changing the narrative with the losing streak. Two, I mean, Pekka's night on Thursday, and it's against Dallas. So it's like a double big night. And, you know, Saturday, for obvious reasons, yet again, two-time defending Stanley Cup champs at Nissan Stadium, this big, massive hockey game at a football stadium in our market. So it's huge on a lot of fronts, and we'll see how they respond, and I'll be curious to see what we're talking about this time next week.
What are you most looking forward to of all these things going on this week, Darren?
I'm most looking forward to finding out if I'm screwed or not today at like 2 o'clock. But anyway, after that, what am I most looking forward to? I mean, it's hard, right? It's like asking who's your favorite kid. You know, what's your, you know, those questions that are impossible to answer. Like Thursday and Saturday, like how do you choose? Like they're both huge nights. The magnitude of Pecorine, you know, what he has meant to this market. This franchise, his career, doing something they've never done. I mean, it's going to be a really special night. By the way, get in your seats before 6 o'clock, okay? I know the game starts at 7:30, but the ceremony is going to be much earlier. I mean, they prefer being there by 5:45, 5:50. But then also, Joe, how do you discount what's going to happen Saturday? We've also never seen that before in this market. Yes, we were all at the Winter Classic in Dallas, and that was cool, but that was in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. This is in our backyard. This is at Nissan Stadium. So, I mean, they're both equally cool. I mean, what am I looking forward to the most? I can't answer that. I'm just looking forward to a really, really fun and special week.
It's going to be an awesome week here in Nashville. I don't think there's any question about it. Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Darren, heal up, my friend. Sorry for the bad news. We'll catch you coming up here in about 45 minutes on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Yeah, I'll hobble away. Thank you, guys. As always, enjoyed it.
Thank you, Darren. We'll come back. We'll react to what Darren had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. How concerned are you about the four-game losing streak with the Florida Panthers coming up tomorrow? They're staring right down the barrel of a tough week as well. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Darren McFarland for joining us in the last segment. The Nashville Predators, they lose again on Friday to Carolina. They've now dropped four games in a row. They're at the number one wild card spot right now in the West. They've at 60 points, 1 point ahead of LA, or 3 points ahead of Anaheim, who's played two more games than they have, and 4 points ahead of Dallas as well. Joe, they've lost to some good teams along the way, especially the last two, Washington and Carolina. They've got Florida coming up tomorrow, which, as Darren pointed out in the last segment, Florida might be the best team in the league right now. What's your concern level at this point if you're a Preds fan about the four losses in a row and what this next week brings to the table with Florida, a big one against Dallas, and then Tampa Bay coming up on Saturday as well?
Well, it's not non-existent. There's some concern, but I also would – I mean, I agree with what Darren said. You're going to have these patches. You're going to have good ones, and it's been still a lot more good than bad this year. And then you're going to have bad ones. You know, it seems like sometimes you just get into you have a bad loss, or you have a mistake-laden loss. They obviously have not been able to stay out of the box. And then it's like all of a sudden you're hitting posts left and right too, you know? And that goes to the whole – I guess that goes to so many hockey cliches, like gripping the stick a little too tightly, yeah. Right? Huh? But it happens. I mean, it does. Like, and then you get in a good way, and you get those breaks. So it's a concern. It's not great to be playing at Florida tomorrow night when you're in the middle of this. This is going to be a huge week, one way or the other. This is going to be a huge week, and for all the pomp and circumstance around two huge events that mean more than a particular, you know, stretch of a season or whatever. I mean, these are big deals. This is the first player retired for the Preds, the best player in history. And then it's a stadium series game here. I still would also look at just the outcome of Thursday's game also as very big. You got Dallas right on your heels, and they just beat you to help get themselves in a better spot. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this team handles also just all the outside stuff. Does that galvanize them, help them, or does that turn out to be a distraction and they really continue to sink here in this losing streak?
Well, I brought this up earlier. You know, a couple of weeks ago, they had, I think, around a 95% chance of making the playoffs on Money Puck. Now, look, these things are not, you know, gospel when it comes to what this means for the playoffs. I think at one point last year, the Predators had like a 1% chance to make the playoffs, and they ended up doing it. So we understand that these things change very rapidly. It is down to, I think, 61.5 right now is the percentage for the Predators. So you're talking about basically in a 2-week span, you know, 30% drop by the Predators when it comes to their playoff odds. I'm not panicking yet. I am concerned. Like, and part of the concern, I think, comes from when this is taking place. You're coming off the All-Star break, and the schedule is just hard right now. And the schedule is hard from a quality competition standpoint. It's about to get hard from, you know, a physical standpoint of you're playing every other day. So, you know, you don't want to let this drag on too far. It's not a great time, in my opinion, to be playing Florida. You know, I kind of allowed myself on Friday to believe, okay, well, it's Carolina. It's a team that you're very familiar with. It's a good team. It's going to require your best going on the road. And then it just turns out that Carolina is really good, and they were tough to handle on Friday. Like, Florida is, I think, better than Carolina is. So you're going to have to be really good tomorrow to win that game. I'm interested to see, to Darren's point, you know, this is really the first extended bad patch that they've had this year. Can they find a way to dig themselves out of it? It's going to happen at some point. Can you dig your way out of it, and can maybe this serve you well in the long run in terms of finding ways to dig out of stuff like that? I still think, you know, this is a tough ask going into Florida tomorrow and pulling off a win. I mean, that team is just an absolute machine right now. So you don't want to let this thing get going too quickly. Like, I'm not panicking yet, but you don't want to let this losing streak reach 5, 6, 7 games by the end of the week. Because if we get through this week and they've lost all 3 games, we're going to be having probably a different conversation next week.
Oh, no question. I mean, it would be hugely disappointing to, again, the most important one is Thursday, just from a outcome perspective. That's the game you got to have. Agreed. But, you know, but I mean, it's almost like, I mean, I almost feel like there's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be a 5-game losing streak heading into that game. And right now, the way they're playing, the way Florida's playing, the fact that it's on the road, I mean, I get it, but that could also maybe be a game tomorrow that gets them flipped the other way. That would be a real handy streak stopper to have to beat that team. Another one of those measuring up kind of games, and then bring that into Thursday. But regardless, yeah, you can't have an 0-for week here. And again, there are two teams that could win the whole thing on the schedule this week. Without question. Two of these teams go win the whole thing. Dallas is a team that, I mean, you gotta win that game. You win that game this week, it's still not great. And you're still talking about 6 losses in 7 games, but it's salvageable.
It is salvageable at that point. I think there's an interesting decision for John Hines coming up tomorrow, because we had him on the show last week. And he made it sound like, you know, heading into the Carolina, Florida two game stretch there, that David Riddick could get one of those two games in goal for the Predators. You know, you go out and you lose to Carolina on Friday, you get all day Saturday off, you have Sunday, you have Monday, and then you play Tuesday against Florida. So that's three full days of rest for UC Saros. You know, I wonder if Saros doesn't just get trotted back out to tomorrow. You know, Florida has been prolific offensively this year. I mean, the amount of goals that they've scored, it's been ridiculous what they've been able to do offensively. You know, I could see a path of, all right, well, we'll just have Riddick have this game and you're taking the lead in this game. Give Saros a break before two huge ones come up later this week. I will say, though, if I'm John Hines, I'm probably giving Saros every game this week. I know that we've talked about at some point you got to rest him, but I just think with the situation being what it is, you have to put your best foot forward, and I'm probably going Saros tomorrow if I'm the coach.
I'm going to guess that because he was comfortable saying that on our show last week, that he's going to stick with it. And I do – one thing about playing Riddick tomorrow night is if you want to talk about taking pressure off your team, that does kind of do that, right? It's like, okay, playing Florida, this might be the best team in the league. We're on the road, losing streak, and Riddick's in goal. So everyone thinks you're going to lose 7-2. Yeah. Now, a little bit of that, and I think to your point, one, obviously there's a ton of work coming up for Saros. Next month is going to be crazy. But it is, even though it's not the physical, grueling situation of back-to-backs or anything like that, these two nights coming up are huge. And obviously they're going to need him at his – it's just like they're just – you have your mentor, you know, being honored, you know, before the one game. And then obviously the stadium series is just a totally different deal for everybody. But I get the idea of, you know what, give him a few days to just clear his head, rest up before those two.
Go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul texting in says, are you guys concerned if they fall out of a playoff spot at this time of the year, this close to the trade deadline, that it might cost us Philip Forsberg? This is coming from Paul on the text line. Do you think that Forsberg may be waiting to see the next few weeks how this plays out before he makes his decision?
Well, he has an active role in how it plays out, for one thing.
He does.
But – yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I think that this team's performance and the emergence of quite a few players here in the last year or so must have improved his outlook for the franchise moving forward. I suppose, you know, if this gets bad, maybe he changes his mind. But again, I think it's a much bigger discussion than that for Forsberg.
I mean, at this point, I would hope that his mind on that part of it is made up one way or the other. Either he likes the direction it's going in or he doesn't. But, like, I don't really know if you're Forsberg how you could really be on the fence right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, to me, it's that discussion is term, money, no trade clause, all that stuff, no movement clause. Yeah. You know, that's what it's about to me. It's got to be.
We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Darren McFarland for joining us in the last segment. The Nashville Predators, they lose again on Friday to Carolina. They've now dropped four games in a row. They're at the number one wild card spot right now in the West. They've at 60 points, 1 point ahead of LA, three points ahead of Anaheim, who's played two more games than they have, and 4 points ahead of Dallas as well. Joe, they've lost to some good teams along the way, especially the last two, Washington and Carolina. They've got Florida coming up tomorrow, which, as Darren pointed out in the last segment, Florida might be the best team in the league right now. What's your concern level at this point, if you're a Preds fan, about the four losses in a row and what this next week brings to the table with Florida, a big one against Dallas, and then Tampa Bay coming up on Saturday as well?
Well, it's not non-existent. There's some concern, but I also would – I mean, I agree with what Darren said. You're going to have these patches. You're going to have good ones, And it's been still a lot more good than bad this year. And then you're going to have bad ones. You know, it seems like sometimes you just get into, you have a bad loss, or you have a mistake laden loss. They obviously have not been able to stay out of the box. And then it's like all of a sudden you're hitting posts left and right too, you know, and that goes to the whole, I guess that goes to so many hockey cliches, like gripping the stick a little too tightly, yeah. Right? Huh? But it happens. I mean, it does. Like, and then you get in a good way and you get those breaks. So it's a concern. It's not great to be playing at Florida tomorrow night when you're in the middle of this. This is going to be a huge week. One way or the other, this is going to be a huge week. And for all the pomp and circumstance around two huge events that mean more than a particular, you know, stretch of a season or whatever. I mean, these are big deals. This is the first player retired for the Preds, the best player in history, and then it's a stadium series game here. I still would also look at just the outcome of Thursday's game also as very big. You got Dallas right on your heels, and they just beat you to help get themselves in a better spot. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this team handles also just all the outside stuff. Does that galvanize them, help them, or does that turn out to be a distraction and they really continue to sink here in this losing streak?
Well, I brought this up earlier. You know, a couple of weeks ago, they had, I think, around a 95% chance of making the playoffs on Money Puck. Now, look, these things are not, you know, gospel when it comes to what this means for the playoffs. I think at one point last year, the Predators had like a 1% chance to make the playoffs, and they ended up doing it. So we understand that these things change very rapidly. It is down to, I think, 61.5 right now is the percentage for the Predators. So you're talking about basically in a two-week span, you know, 30% drop by the Predators when it comes to their playoff odds. I'm not panicking yet. I am concerned. Like, and part of the concern, I think, comes from when this is taking place. You're coming off the All-Star break, and the schedule's just hard right now. And the schedule's hard from a quality competition standpoint. It's about to get hard from, you know, a physical standpoint of your playing every other day. So, you know, you don't want to let this drag on too far. It's not a great time, in my opinion, to be playing Florida. You know, I kind of allowed myself on Friday to believe, okay, well, it's Carolina. It's a team that you're very familiar with. It's a good team. It's going to require your best going on the road. And then it just turns out that Carolina is really good, and they were tough to handle on Friday. Like, Florida is, I think, better than Carolina is. So you're going to have to be really good tomorrow to win that game. I'm interested to see, to Darren's point, you know, this is really the first extended bad patch that they've had this year. Can they find a way to dig themselves out of it? It's going to happen at some point. Can you dig your way out of it? And can maybe this serve you well in the long run in terms of finding ways to dig out of stuff like that? I still think, you know, this is a tough ask going into Florida tomorrow and pulling off a win. I mean, that team is just an absolute machine right now. So you don't want to let this thing get going too quickly. Like, I'm not panicking yet, but you don't want to let this losing streak reach 5, 6, 7 games by the end of the week. Because, if we get through this week and they've lost all three games, we're going to be having probably a different conversation next week.
Oh, no question. I mean, it would be hugely disappointing to, again, the most important one is Thursday, just from a outcome perspective. That's the game you got to have. Agreed. But, you know, but I mean, it's almost like, I mean, I almost feel like there's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be a 5-game losing streak heading into that game. And right now, the way they're playing, the way Florida's playing, the fact that it's on the road, I mean, I get it, but that could also maybe be a game tomorrow that gets them flipped the other way. That would be a real handy streak stopper to have to beat that team. Another one of those measuring up kind of games, and then bring that into Thursday. But regardless, yeah, you can't have an 0-for week here. And again, there are two teams that could win the whole thing on the schedule this week. Without question. Two of these teams can win the whole thing. Dallas is a team that, I mean, you gotta win that game. You win that game this week, it's still not great. And you're still talking about 6 losses in 7 games, but it's salvageable.
It is salvageable at that point. I think there's an interesting decision for John Hines coming up tomorrow, because we had him on the show last week, and he made it sound like, you know, heading into the Carolina-Florida 2-game stretch there, that David Rittich could get one of those two games in goal for the Predators. You know, you go out and you lose to Carolina on Friday. You get all day Saturday off. You have Sunday, you have Monday, and then you play Tuesday against Florida. So that's three full days of rest for UC Soros. You know, I wonder if Soros doesn't just get trotted back out to tomorrow. You know, Florida has been prolific offensively this year. I mean, the amount of goals that they've scored, it's been ridiculous what they've been able to do offensively. You know, I could see a path of, all right, well, we'll just have Riddick have this game and you're taking the lead in this game. Give Soros a break before two huge ones come up later this week. I will say, though, if I'm John Hines, I'm probably giving Soros every game this week. I know that we've talked about at some point you got to rest him, but I just think with the situation being what it is, you have to put your best foot forward, and I'm probably going Soros tomorrow if I'm the coach.
I'm going to guess that because he was comfortable saying that on our show last week, that he's going to stick with it. And I do – one thing about playing Riddick tomorrow night is if you want to talk about taking pressure off your team, that does kind of do that, right? It's like, okay, playing Florida, this might be the best team in the league. We're on the road, losing streak, and Riddick's in goal. So everyone thinks you're going to lose 7-2. Yeah. Now, a little bit of that, and I think to your point, one, obviously there's a ton of work coming up for Soros. Next month is going to be crazy. But it is, even though it's not the physical, grueling situation of back-to-backs or anything like that, these two nights coming up are huge. And obviously they're going to need him. At his. It's just like they're just you have your mentor, you know, being honored, you know, before the one game. And then obviously the stadium series is just a totally different deal for everybody. But I get the idea of, you know what, give him a few days to just clear his head, rest up before those two.
Go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul texting in says, are you guys concerned if they fall out of a playoff spot at this time of the year, this close to the trade deadline, that it might cost us Philip Forsberg? This is coming from Paul on the text line. Do you think that Forsberg may be waiting to see the next few weeks how this plays out before he makes his decision?
Well, he has an active role in how it plays out for one thing.
He does.
But – yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I think that this team's performance and the emergence of quite a few players here in the last year or so must have improved his outlook for the franchise moving forward. I suppose, you know, if this gets bad, maybe he changes his mind. But again, I think it's a much bigger discussion than that for Forsberg.
I mean, at this point, I would hope that his mind on that part of it is made up one way or the other. Either he likes the direction it's going in or he doesn't. But, like, I don't really know, yeah, if you're Forsberg, how you could really be on the fence right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, to me, it's that discussion is term, money, no trade, all that stuff, no movement clause. Yeah. You know, that's what it's about to me. It's got to be.
We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. As we said earlier on the show, Joe, today is National Sticky Bun Day. We're a month away from the trade deadline in the NHL. On the trade deadline is National Common Courtesy Day. What do we think of that? Lots of days out here upcoming.
Interesting. So I guess if you're a fan of a team that does something you don't like, you still need to be nice and kind and not tweet mean things.
Yeah, common courtesy. That.
Yeah. So it's right, Sticky Bun Day. Very
maybe every day should be common courtesy day, I think.
That's a fair point, too.
They got a day for it. I'm just saying. It'd be a little bit extra courteous that day, I guess.
Yeah. And hey, National Sticky Bun Day. I mean, I guess I like sticky buns, I guess.
I guess.
But like I prefer for you. I mean, they're okay. But, like, again, I hope that there's a National Cinnamon Roll Day. I hope there's a National Glazed Donut Day. I mean, I could go through all kinds of pastries that I would give a day to before sticky buns.
Yeah, me too. Paul texting back in says, I don't mean Forsberg mind. I mean Poyles. If we aren't in a playoff spot, do you think he's less likely to let Forsberg potentially walk for nothing when a potential playoff run is in question? If in Poyle's mind, Forsberg is the deadline pickup and we aren't in a spot and Forsberg refuses to sign before the deadline, I could see Poyle trading him for assets. This is coming from Paul on the text line.
I doubt it.
I doubt it as well. I will say I feel like that's a little bit more likely today than it was this time last week, just based on where they are in the standings right now. Like, if it continues to go this way and, you know, a month from now they're 6 points out of a playoff spot, then I think maybe you start to reevaluate things if you're David Poyle. Now, I don't really see that happening because, again, they're fighting to fall completely out of the playoffs. Like, right now you're fighting with the Kings, who I don't think are very good, the Ducks, who I don't think are very good, and the Stars, who just lost last night to the Coyotes. And now that makes Thursday's game huge against Dallas. Like, you need to win that game, and you need to win that game in regulation. I guess I would be surprised if at this time a month from now they're 6 points out of a playoff spot.
Right. Now, it's also not just that. I mean, look, I continue to believe that David Poyle on Darren Dohnuk and Chase gave a gentle little nudge to Forsberg's representation.
Yeah.
And so if you get to that point and you have both things, which is, you know, like you've had a fade in the standings and you're really concerned about where the season's going, and you're still just not there, okay, well, then I think you at least have to start. You have to start. You got to field calls, and you got to see what could be done, which is amazing that we're talking about that because, again, it's like beginning of the year, you have to trade them. 3 weeks ago, of course, there's zero chance they're trading him, and, you know, they have a great chance of signing him, and now, you know, you just, all it takes is a losing streak, and you start thinking the other way again.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, we need more offense. Bring back Novak, send McCarron to the bench. That's coming from a texter on the text line. I've seen a lot of that. Like, I think Novak did a good job while he was here. I don't really know what happened there in terms of why he's all of a sudden not there. I mean, Michael McCarron is a bigger guy and I guess fits more the identity with the way they want to play. I thought Novak did a fine job. Now, I will say, I mean, you're talking about a guy that had one goal and 7 points in 27 games. So I don't know how much offense is going to change with Tommy Novak coming in there. But I think certainly analytically, that line, that fourth line was better when Novak was on it.
Yeah, I don't know that that's some huge game changer. But, I mean, look, there's a lot of little moves that can be made and I'm sure are being discussed and considered right now. And we've talked earlier in the show about, you know, you move Tomasino, different line. As Darren was discussing, Cody Glass is having a good year in Milwaukee. So at some point, does he get another look? I'm sure something is going to change.
What do you think about the Rocco idea? Like, Rocco scored, he's put up 21 in Milwaukee. Obviously,
I'm never against Rocco.
No, I love me some Rocco Grimaldi. Now, obviously, you know, there came a point where the way that he plays the game, the size or lack thereof, I mean, it just wasn't a mesh with the way this team was going. I mean, he is lighting it up. To his credit, I mean, he's gone down there and he's responded pretty well. Like, I wonder if that's a route they could take at any point. I mean, it's pretty obvious last year, especially, you know, defensively, it did not go up to John Hines' standards with Rocco Grimaldi. And I honestly really don't know how much that's going to change just based on his size. Like, I think there are limitations to what he can be defensively because of his size. But I do wonder, like, if the offense continues to be dried up in terms of secondary scoring, is there a point where you say, you know what? Let's get Rocco back up here, see what he can do.
I don't think you completely rule it out. You know, little guys can play hockey too.
They can.
This franchise used to have a lot of them. longer does have any, but I mean, look, he can give you a jump start. He really can.
Well, look, it's pretty obvious he's still an NHL quality player. Like, this idea that all of a sudden he can't play in the league, I've always found to be ridiculous. I mean, he's put up 43 points in 35 games down there. He's got 21 goals. I mean, he's eviscerating the AHL with the way he's playing. So he's obviously still good enough to be in the NHL. I think it's more about fit than anything else. And I just wonder, like, if in John Hines' mind, maybe that ship has sailed because, you know, guys keep getting hurt. Like, you know, Nick Cousins got hurt. They brought up Cole Smith. They didn't bring up Rocco Grimaldi. They brought up Tommy Novak. You know, they brought up Michael McCarron. They've done all these different things, and Rocco's not really been a part of it, save for a stretch where they had a big COVID issue and Rocco was up then. So I almost wonder in John Hines' mind if maybe that ship with Rocco has sailed a little bit.
Yeah, probably. But you know, if it gets to the point where you continue to lose and offense is a huge part of that, you know, that's where sometimes you got to be a little more desperate. And again, I agree with you. Rocco Grimaldi is an NHL forward. He is a dangerous player. He's got speed. He can finish. He's given this team some really good stretches. But I think you're right that for the most part, it's like, okay, this is how we want to play. Doesn't quite work with him. So give some other guys who maybe fit that billing a little bit better a chance first. But at some point, you could get there.
Kyle on the text line says, Novak was a really good center, but adding him on the fourth line won't do that much because he only plays 10 minutes a night, whereas Michael McCarron takes those minutes and also munches the PK minutes as well. I don't think it helps much because then a different forward has to play penalty kill, which is even worse since Cousins is on the mend as well, who's coming from Kyle on the text line. Yeah, I don't know that the answer to all the Predators' problems right now is Tommy Novak. Like, you got to get some more scoring. I would be interested to see, you know, could they move Tomasino up a little bit on a semi-permanent basis? Like, just see what he can do there for the next few games. Maybe. I don't know. Like, maybe that's a route they go. Number one, you got to stop taking penalties because your penalty kill has kind of hit the skids as of late. And number two, like, some of it has been bad luck. They've hit a lot of posts. They've got to find a way to finish on some of those chances. Darren's right. The scoring's dried up. You know, if not for that late flurry the other night against Carolina, you're talking about a game where Winnipeg, you scored two, Washington, you score one, and they had one for the majority of the game the other night. They got to find a way to get more offense on the board early.
Right. And some of it is, we can talk about lineup changes. We can talk about bring this guy up or whatever. It's, you know, I mean, look, it won't take too long. I mean, I know Forsberg ended up getting on the board the other day, but, like, you know, it's the constant need. This team badly needs those top guys to just stay consistent. It's asking a lot, but if they have even a little bit of a downstretch for a period, it's going to show up.
Yeah,
based on the lack of secondary scoring, which has been pretty consistent.
I got a texter that says, didn't we all think before the season that the competitive rebuild would have stretches like this? A lot of franchises missed the playoffs for years while rebuilding. Not that we Preds fans want that. I mean, yeah, look.
Yeah.
The fact that they're in a four-game losing streak right now, at some point that was going to happen. Now, how quickly can you dig yourself out? I think that's the question as they move forward here. It's not really something they've had to do. Yeah.
Right. I mean, because you've got these two huge franchise moment events. But it's also, it really is like, okay, can you bounce back, measure up against a couple of great teams, fend off a team that's chasing you, handle all the distractions, and turn this around before it becomes a real problem? Because certainly they could lose all three this week. And that would also put a little damper on these two celebrations that deserve to have, you know, their moments.
That's the thing. Like, if I'm John Hines, I mean, heck, if I'm a Predators fan, I'm embracing the Pecorine stuff. It's going to be awesome. I'm embracing the stadium series. It's going to be awesome. Bottom line, if I'm John Hines, at the end of the day, I don't really care about those two things. You got to get some wins. Like, you got to go get some points with your group right now. And that's an interesting balance they're going to have, because obviously there's a lot of pomp and circumstance around them this week. I'm interested to see how that affects the way they play. And I don't really know what the answer to that's going to be.
Right. Like, I would anticipate hair on fire Thursday night, you know, but sometimes that can hurt you too.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's just hard to tell. You know, I guess I would anticipate the same thing Saturday. And again, that's a different deal. In the meantime, maybe they go out with Riddick tomorrow and pull the stunner and everybody feels a lot better before they even get to Thursday.
Yeah. Maybe so. Joe Rexroder, that's going to do it for you today, my friend. We'll see you in the morning.
Sounds good. Got to take little brother to the airport. So you guys can make fun of me last segment. And by the way, Sean on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, I didn't know what a pumice stone is.
Joe.
Pumice stone. But thank you for the offer, and I appreciate that you're still in love with my feet.
Yes, as do we all. Joe Rexrode will be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Michelle and I coming back next. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Joe Rex Road has taken off for the day. He'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow, traveling to the airport down there in Florida. So good stuff from Rex Road. And now the real co-host is in here, Michelle.
And now we make fun of Joe.
That's what we do when he leaves.
So he's at his grandma's, and those videos that I just sent to you guys, when he would mute and you would talk, Robbie, we were watching on the Zoom here, and he would take his headphones out, and he was like, sorry, Grandma, you can talk now.
Oh, yeah. This is awesome. It's good stuff. By the way, it looks like the defending Super Bowl champion LA Rams are pulling from the Kentucky Wildcats. The offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen, looks like he's about to be joining the Rams as their OC up there in LA. So people are picking from the Wildcats today.
Thanks, McVay. That's a big loss for Kentucky football. It'll be interesting to see who they hire, actually. I feel like it's such a weird time, too, for we're just talking about coaching movement. Like, we're already in February.
Yeah, it's late in the game. I don't think there's any question. Like, the offensive coordinator, as you know, in football, and especially college football, it's pretty darn important. And Kentucky looked pretty good last year on that side of the ball. So I'm interested to see what they do there. Speaking of Kentucky, big win for your Cats against Alabama over the weekend. I know you were thrilled.
Robbie, I was really nervous because when Elijah and I were hosting courtside Saturday morning, you know, we were talking about the loss over your Vols and saying how, you know, Ty Washington looked like he got hurt, unsure if him or Sevilla really were going to play. And then we found out on Twitter during the show that both of them weren't practicing in pregame warmups. So then you're starting backcourts out. And then if Alabama goes off and is just shooting threes left and right, which they did the first half, I'm like, oh, goodness, this is going to be rough. But they came out with a win. I would say that was probably one of their best wins, obviously, other than the Kansas one, the Tennessee one earlier this year. It was pretty impressive to see the, like, Davion Mintz and other guys on the team step up, and they're going to need that, especially if these guys aren't healthy until tournament time, which kind of seems like they might not be.
Well, and Cal, he might shut him down until tournament time. Like, he was basically like, I got to have these guys healthy for March, was what he was talking about the other day. And to get that win without those two guys was pretty impressive. So we'll see how they can respond with maybe those two guys being back in the lineup coming up down the stretch here. You watched the NBA All-Star game last night. What'd you think?
Robbie, I know how you feel about them, All-Star games in general. Obviously, there's no defense being played, but I thought it was so the game itself, I watched it like at a restaurant, at a bar, so I wasn't listening to it all, but just watching the offensive performance from Steph Curry. I sent you guys a stat. He had 16 three-pointers, shooting from the logo, turning around as soon as the ball just leaves his hands, just goes in. He had 16 three-pointers, more than every starter on both teams combined.
Pretty good.
And Ja Morant, he had some sick highlight reel dunks in there. Look him up. And then they also did the NBA 75 Greatest Players tribute, and they had everybody was there. And it was just pretty incredible to see all the legends. They took a class picture of all of them. I kind of want to go back and watch it now. And all of the behind-the-scenes videos from the NBA, and it's like Jordan's talking crap to Magic of, hey, let's go play one-on-one, wear your sneakers, and all this stuff. I just love old-school basketball, so that was really cool to see, a little addition to the game itself.
Yeah, ESPN has put out, like, their own ranking here, and they've got, like, their own, I guess, top 75. You know, Jordan at one, LeBron at two, I don't think surprised anybody. I had to stop myself because I got mad at this list earlier. They've got Chris Paul ahead of Dwayne Wade, which I just think is a
yeah, Robbie. Joke. We both don't like that. You know, hey, D-Mace. D-Mace just walked in. Our guy, D-Wade, he just doesn't get enough love, I swear.
No, he doesn't. But I'm sure the All-Star game was fun. I can't do it. I can't do the no defense thing.
What about like the dunk contest? What about like the
awful, absolutely terrible. They need to scrap the dunk contest. Like nobody's in it anymore. Like Ja Morant doesn't do it. LeBron's never done it. Like they have guys that nobody's ever heard of doing the dunk contest. If you told me that like LeBron, like he's old enough, he's too old now, so he's not going to do it. But like if Ja Morant was in there, I'd watch it. But it kind of feels like all the big time guys in the dunk contest are scared to death to do it because everything, you know, that you can do in a dunk contest at this point has essentially been done. So like nobody wants to do it. So you've got guys, you know, trotting guys out there that you've never heard of before. Like if they could get their stars to do the dunk contest, I would love it, but nobody wants to do it anymore.
No, that's fair. I mean, Obi Toppin was out there, but obviously, like, to see a Ja Morant out there, even the dunks Ja was doing in the game. He had a Trae Young lobbed it. He did the 360 one, another one from basically from the charity stripe. But you just don't think Ja does it because,
like, well, nobody does it. It's not like it's not just him. Like, I don't want to turn into like old man yelling at the cloud. And like going back to the 80s of Michael Jordan in the dunk contest.
Vince Carter.
But like the last, 10, 15 years, nobody big's been in the dunk contest because I guess they're just afraid that they're going to look stupid out there. I don't know. I don't know why they won't do it, but nobody. The fact that LeBron never did a dunk contest honestly kind of just upsets me.
Yeah, I don't really get it. Like, Bron, get out there.
I don't understand what's going on there. Like, I would love to see Ja Morant do it. Now, the thing with Ja Morant is he's also been apparently dealing with some ankle soreness as well. So I'm not necessarily surprised that he didn't get out and do, like, he only played, I think, 18 minutes in the game last night, which is the fewest amount of anybody. So I think he's dealing with kind of an ankle thing right now. So good on him for showing up and playing anyway. But the NBA, to me, the NBA dunk contest is dead. Like, they either need to find a way to get their stars involved in it or scrap the thing altogether.
That makes me so sad. No, but I know what you mean. It's, the dunks are incredible, but the fact that they're just middle-level NBA guys doing it, you imagine the what if. But even just having Ja Morant, I mean, that's so big for Memphis. I was talking to Elijah about this, how Memphis lucked out so much when the Pelicans went with Zion, which who has done nothing just because he's been injured and hasn't been playing and all that down in New Orleans. Ja Morant, if you can get out to a Memphis game, I've been to two so far this year, absolutely incredible to watch and is a real contender in the MVP conversation.
Oh, he's absolutely in that conversation. Thomas texting in says, how about Myles Garrett doing the windmill duck in the celebrity game? That was cool. That was pretty awesome. The fact that Myles Garrett at his size can do a windmill dunk is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was sick. That was sick. I love the celebrity game, honestly.
Andrew from the Borough texting in says Zach LaVine versus Aaron Gordon, one of the best dunk contests ever. Yeah, it was great. But most of the time, like this year, the dunk contest is a complete flop. Like, you got to get your stars back in there. And I don't think it's ever going to happen again at this point because, I mean, again, we're going on 10, 15 years of them not being in there. Like, Vince Carter was the last real star that I remember doing well in a dunk contest.
And stuck his arm in the ring. Ago?
Yeah, it's 20 years ago.
Hamadou Diallo a couple of years ago did the – he had the Superman with his whole arm in the hoop. That was pretty sick, but I just remember that specific dunk. You know, you don't remember, like, the whole thing itself. You remember moments from
You know, Blake Griffin jumping over the Kia or whatever. Like, that was cool, but it's few and far between. And that's the other thing. Like, what more can you do at a dunk contest now that's not already been done? I mean, I'm sure people could think of something like – you know, I forget who it was that put the cupcake on the top of the rim, blew out the candle and dunked it. Like, there's creative stuff that you can do with it, but it just kind of feels to me like you're getting closer and closer to the point where if you're Adam Silver in the NBA, you got to look around and say, all right, if your stars aren't going to be in it, what should we do with this thing? I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority.
No, but also too, Robbie, like the push to postseason. What are you going to try something extremely crazy in the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest and then risk also getting hurt
exactly.
And you're going into playoffs like, oh, well, we just lost Ja Morant, our best player.
Yeah, like, I understand why they don't do it. Like, I wouldn't want to put myself at, you know, injury risk either. It's just, it's not the same without the big guys in there. But that's my old man yelling at the cloud moment today.
Michelle, Robbie, that's going to do it for us today.
I do hate All-Star games. There's no question about it. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.